Happy Valentine's Day, and thank you for joining Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 133, part 2, Seeing and Telling. Today is Sunday, February 14th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, you can call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us online. And you can also leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion. You can do that at Pastor Paul's blog, where you can also subscribe to the podcast. At the blog, you're going to find scripture links within Pastor Paul's show notes for each podcast. So be sure to go there to check out the scripture links. Be sure to join us part one on Friday and part two on Sunday, the conclusion of Pastor Paul's messages. So for the month of February, the lineup is this: our trials and our divine deliverances, seeing and telling, we are hard cases, and the waters will be watered. So have a fantastic month of February. Happy Valentine's Day. God bless you.
When you're going on a trip and you have these maps, that you can never fold them back up again. Do you ever notice? But you unfold this map and you can unfold it a piece at a time so that you can tell on the road which way you're going. And you unfold it, and it gives another little stream 15, 20 miles this way, and detour here and so on like that. And you unfold it. And it's the same way with your lives. It's the good news unfolding in you a little bit at a time. And sometimes it can happen. God uses evil and God uses good. God created them both. Is there any argument on that? Are you hearing this? But anyway, when we receive the good news, then we have the, let's say, the right orientation to life as a whole. We now have the key. Did you ever notice on these maps, these road maps, you want a name of a town, you look on the name where that town is, you look over here and it says B or D or Z13, and you follow over here, the A, B, C over to Z, and you go over here on the 13 and you go up and you meet the two and there they are. Well, that's the same way in your life, in the unfolding. Your life is unfolding. Isn't it? Isn't your life unfolding, Randy? Isn't your life unfolding, Ruth? And I'll just use you because you're here. I mean, you know. But have you ever had people judge you for your life? I have. Isn't it Isn't it great the way life has a way and God has a way? And all of a sudden, Z meets 13. Zip. Ruth and Randy, R&R. Well, did you ever think about that? Predestination? Oh, I have people argue. Oh, man has his own free volition, his own free will. I says, hey, God's got circumstances that will come in your life to make you change your mind. God will have his way. How many are hearing this? Oh, yeah. But now all you have to do then is follow out all these implications of what you have. Now you got the roadmap, follow it out. You got the Word of God, follow it out. Because if you begin at just good advice, you know what will happen? You'll run down. You ever have somebody give you good advice? There's so much good advice. So many books have been written and good advice on raising children. Let the child have his own way, I read in this certain book. Put the child in the bathtub and give him watercolors, preferably tube, and let him get into the bathtub naked and then let him squirt this all over and hand paint his body. Now, doesn't that sound kind of weird to you? Doesn't it? Doesn't that sound, now that's advice from the world, okay? That's sort of like this guy, it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. He puts on his sweater and his shoes and everything. What's his name? Mr. Kink? What's his name? Who? Mr. Rogers. Wonderful day in the neighborhood. Wonderful day in the neighborhood. Blah, 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 blah. That's an easy program. He spends half of it putting on his shoes and taking them off, and it's this old tattered sweater. Makes a mint doing it. You know why? And he tells the kids, go on downstairs in the basement, get several gallons of paint, and try not to make a mess. Bring them upstairs. That's it. Bring them up there, put them on the table up there, and then dump them all over and make what? Don't make a mess. Mommy will get mad. But that's where the world is right now, and they have good advice. Isn't that good advice? I think it's dumb advice myself. But you have all these people that will give you advice, but it's not the good news. So now they're so scared in the schools to reprimand one of the children. They do studies on them, and they sit there all pursy-lipped, and they cross their legs. And the kid comes up and bites this teacher that's taking the survey in the leg. And she takes a note. Bitten severely in the leg. Strange behavior. When in reality, the kid needs a good sound spanking. Spare the rod, spoil the child. So now everybody's an expert in raising kids. See? That's advice. I'm talking about the good news. And they'll write books and books and books and books, and people will preach it all over these views that are so stupid, I don't believe it. And we have the good news, but we misuse it and we mishandle the Word of God. We make it sound like some kind of drudgery. And we make it a drudgery. And you know why we do? If we're not working out the Word. See, Word without work won't work. And work without Word won't work. One cannot make it without the other. That's where the world has gone wrong. They don't want to work at it. They don't want to work at being a parent. They don't want to work at being a teacher. They don't want to work at being anything. And it ain't working. We have the good news right here. How are we handling the, are we unfolding it? But you run down with these good advice things. Because somebody else will give you another piece of advice just when you're running out of advice from advice giver number one. And that's the way with most people when they get saved. They go from grace to law and law to grace and grace to law, and then they try to mix it together and they put it in a great big old bowl and they start to stir on this grace and this law and it comes out all gray. And they have the gray sickness. What happened to you? Well, I lived 6 months over here in Lawsville. And then I lived over here in Grace Village for a while. And I just got so mixed up, I thought, come on, let's be friends. And they come on, Grace and Law. And they tried to mix the two together, and they will not mix. Show me a person that tries to mix Grace and Law, and I'll show you a frustrated person. You ever been there? I have. You know what happens? Then you start to compromise the Word of God. Then you become exhausted, perplexed, bothered, and bewildered. That reminds me of a song I won't sing. Perplexed, bothered, and bewildered am I, huh? Well, what's really wrong with this person? This person is really self-centered and not God-centered at all. Because they're so interested in their self, they can't simply receive the grace of God that they're saved by it eternally, so they got to go pick up a little attaché case with some legalism in it, and they got to try to bring them together and say, let's be friends. And they end up frustrated. And they end up into doomsday preaching when doomsday is already here and you don't have to talk about it. They've left the good news for some home improvement views. Did you ever try to improve yourself? The only way that man can improve himself, and of course it doesn't work, is to make somebody else not look quite as good as they are in their own eyes. And in the very end, you're going to see a lot of this happening. Mark it down, though. I mean, you know, I'm just telling you like it is. Did you ever notice when we get into the coffee situations how we can get into this thing? And we're sitting around. Well, you know, I've been thinking lately. And so we're frustrated. We've been up all night mixing the law and grace and trying to figure the whole. Don't try to figure God out, please. Please. Please, radio audience, give it up. Simply receive the love of God and the grace of God and go on. To the next step, and the next step, and the next step. Because you cannot exhaust the good news. Can you exhaust it? Can you wear it out? No. You have to make front page everyday Christian, you listening on the radio on this tape, and that's who I'm ministering tonight, most part. You have to be front page news every day. What's a Christian doing? This is what he's doing. And this is what he's doing. And that's what he's doing. And you have to see and you have to testify. And the only way you're going to see and the only way you're going to testify is actually getting involved in the thing. Isn't that right? How are you going to testify about something you're not involved in? Well, Debbie, how is it to play in Dove? And you never played in Dove? You just sat there, you never sang? You just sat there? No, you get up and sing. Isn't that right? Don't you get up and play your piano, and now you got something to testify about? And don't you sit in a circle? Well, now, I think we ought to have a little more. Dean, don't you? But by practicing, see, you have something to testify about. You actually worked it out, and you worked out a tune, and you practiced that tune over and over and over, and you were repetitious, and you got up and you played it, and it sounded good, and glory to God, it's God working through you. So what's wrong with that? Or are you just going to sit up there? Guitar ready? Piano ready, voices ready, and just stand there like a pitcher. You better cut loose with what God showed you to do. Don't you worry about folk, because they always got something to say. Hear me? Say amen, somebody. You listening on the radio, say amen. We're so busy trying to find fault, we don't see the forest for the trees. Are you hearing it? And I don't know how many times the preacher has to give out a grace message before it sinks in. What I have seen and I know from whence I speak. I have the good news. It has a past, it has a present, and it has eternal meanings. It's all wrapped up. And the eternal is unfolding. Of what has been unfolded. Then life, don't you see, is a high adventure. Don't the world say, oh, I'm going out and I'm going to have a high old time. Why can't we go out and have a high old time? See, we live out this message of Jesus Christ. And we have high adventure. Or are you afraid of what might be discovered about you in the unfolding? See, as this roadmap starts to unfold, they're going to see a few rough spots. And they're going to see a few detours in your life. And you're going to find a few faults in your life. And as the thing unfolds, and as this map of life, and as Z over here on the calendar meets R over here, and they come together, something's going to happen. Are you afraid of what might be unfolded in your own life? Oh, don't be afraid of it. Detour, there's a muddy road ahead. Detour, huh? Are you playing it safe? Are you playing a word game instead of living out the word? If you live the word, the good news, you won't go grow stinky in your own views. Live out the word. Oh, it's so much fun to live it out. Not to worry about, be dismayed with, fall down, froth at the mouth of what people might think. My God, they just think the worst all the time anyway. Get on with what God has shown you to do and don't worry about it. Anyway, the president of this synagogue at Antioch said to Paul, brothers, if you have any word of counsel for the people, say it. Do you think they did? In Acts 13 and 15, He expected them to give out a word of counsel. He expected them to add to the billions of words of advice offered to the sin-burdened, offered to the morally helpless people, some more good views. But Paul broke in with this defeated, he broke into this discouraged, he broke into this lost group with what? Nothing other than the good news. He broke into the very legal camp, that self-salvation group. And he said, it's not self-asserting. It's not a salvation by works, but it's accepting God's salvation. Isaiah, are you listening? Isaiah 52, 7 and 8. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Your God reigns. And instead of any word of counsel, he preached from his soul and his lips about how God became a man, a Savior called Jesus. In Acts 13 and 23, is the Bible a book of self-help? No, I don't think so. I know it isn't. It's a book of divine help. In Romans 5 and 8, but God proves his love for us by this, that Christ died for us when we were yet sinners. In Acts 13 and 32, we preach to you the good news. Whew. Don't be ashamed of the good news. Here we are in Acts 13. Listen to it. Starting in verse 32. And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this promise to our children, in that he raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. And as for the fact that he raised him up from the dead, no more to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and the sure blessings of David. Oh, glory to God. The holy and the sure blessings of David. Therefore, he also says in another psalm, thou wilt not, are you hearing this? Thou wilt not allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. For David, after he had of his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers, underwent decay. But he whom God raised did not undergo decay. Therefore, it goes on, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. That's the good news. That's the good news that the people out there, radio audience and tape ministry, are waiting to hear. And through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Take heed, therefore, so that these things spoken in the prophets may come upon you. Behold, you scoffers, and marvel and perish, for I am accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you will never believe, though someone should describe it to you. Even though they describe it to you, you won't receive it. You want to go by a way of legalism, and it won't work, and you'll perish that way, for I have prepared a way for the one that does not decay in the grave, but that has risen from the dead, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And as Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Oh, it was so good. It was so heartwarming. It was so new. It was so beautiful. It was so great. They said, we want to hear of it again. Now when meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and
the God-fearing proselytes, followed Paul and Barnabas, who were speaking to them and were urging them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. There it lies. And in the end, when you preach the good news, when you work out the word of God, when you do these things that you see me do, you'll do, and even greater things you will do. They will call you a boaster. They will call you hellish. They will call you everything but God-fearing. But the word of God says that they began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. And so what Paul and Barnabas do, they run off to some little old shack and hide. No, it says like this. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, since you repudiated, and listen, and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. We're going to find somebody that's going to listen to this good news. For thus the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you should bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. But the Jews, the legalists, aroused the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated, listen now, instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But listen what they did. But they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium, and the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Whew. And you're going to have the very same thing happen to you when you get out there and you work out the word and you give out the good news. Someone's going to come along and say, oh, it's too good. We don't want to hear it. And it says right up in here, it says, they were filled with jealousy. Whew. Oh, God, that. Terrible thing, but it's happening. Say amen, somebody. Here it is now. Listen to me. This is in 1 Thessalonians, verses 4 and 6, first chapter. Knowing, brethren, beloved, by God his choice of you, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in the power and in the Holy Ghost, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. Oh, wow. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation and with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Hey, we're right in these times. I mean, it is all wiped out. The blood of Jesus Christ. The word is, the blood of Jesus Christ washes away all the sin. And that he wishes that no man should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. And that's the good news. Well, a person asked me, shouldn't we do penance for past sins? No, I said, you're just going to have a pious puke. I think you're going to end up guilt-ridden. You don't understand the grace of God if you're going to do that. You don't understand the forgiveness of God. Here we have Paul that murdered Christians, got knocked off his high horse, became a Christian himself, entered the desert for 3.5 years trying to understand God using him. Then he received the grace of God. Hallelujah. Then he went back to the law. Then he got frustrated. Let's read about it. He went back and forth. Oh, yeah, he did. Wandered around out in the desert for a while. Okay, here we are in Romans 7 and 19. Listen. For the good that I wish to do, I do not, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then that the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is the members of my body. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? You ever come to that? I have. What a dilemma. Well, let's go over here to chapter 8 and the first verse, the answer. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it were through the flesh, God did. He didn't say he was going to do. He did it! Sending his own son in the likeness of the sinful flesh as an offering for sin, plural. He condemned sin in the flesh. Oh, God, to grab that message and to grab a hold of it and to have it tucked away in your heart. Hallelujah. So here we have in closing, we have Paul accepted the gift of grace. Something that God had already worked out. He had worked it out from his side through a cross of self-giving. When Paul accepted this very gift of grace and forgiveness, he didn't go out and do penance with a long, phony, sorrowful face. No, he didn't. But he repented with a once and for all turning away and gave grace room, and he lived this abounding great message that he preached forevermore after that of gratitude and joy for what Jesus Christ had already done. And this is the good news from the New Testament. By grace are ye saved through faith. And that, what's that? Faith. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. When we begin to realize, when we accept that gift, we don't spend the rest of our lives walking on our knees for past sins. What's past? Would you say, how many think that this morning is past? Well, it is. You see the sun out there? Hey, it's past. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Well, it's dark outside. Would you say it's past? Wait a minute. It's 10 o'clock. Would you say that 9 o'clock is past? Would you say that 10 minutes to 10 is past? It's past. It's past. You can only live in this present. So all you have to worry about is this present thing. Can you help what you did in the past? No, you didn't. Did it. You might be judged for what you did in the past. It doesn't hold water. It's past. Is that right? How many are glad it's past? I am. It's past. How many know that we have to have the grace message preached? Because you know what? We forget about the grace of God. We do. We love to be, it's almost like we love to be condemned. Oh, you vile, stinking flesh mess. Huh? It's sadistic. Isn't it sadistic? It's also phony. Because we love ourselves, really. Oh, God, you're wonderful. Huh? Let's face it. It's the truth, isn't it? We have to preach the grace message because we forget about the grace of God. And we get into working it out on our own. We get into legal entanglements. You know how many points of law you got to bring up to save yourself? You'd be in court the rest of your life. All right, witness number 4 billion. What do you think of this man? Those are people's views. It's what God thinks of you. It's not good views. It's good news. Good news is Jesus has covered all that. Case dismissed. On what grounds? On the grounds of the cross and the blood that was spilled for sinners. This case is closed. And then the whole court claps. Yay! Huh? Isn't that the good news? And everybody hugs everybody when they close the case in the courts. Oh, and then they hug each other. Oh, we're so glad you were free. Huh? Some of them are saying, oh, we're so glad you were free. I think he's still guilty, though, don't you? Let me finish. Let's start to show gratitude for what God has already done. That's all you have to do. Be grateful. Isn't that right? Or maybe you listening on the radio want to hate yourself a little longer. That's your problem. Let me read one more piece of scripture. Okay? Second Thessalonians, second chapter, 11th verse. And for this reason, God will send upon them, are you hearing this? A deluding influence so that they might believe what is false. God doesn't love you. How many know that's false? You are condemned. How many know that's false? In order that they all may be judged who do not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by God, because God has chosen you from the beginning. Oh, my God. For salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in truth. Well, what's that mean? Faith in truth. Jesus. Faith in all truth. Jesus. And that's all you have to do is believe, have the faith that He has already done. Well, listen. And it was for this He calls you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us, given us eternal comfort and good hope by what? By grace. Stop frustrating, radio audience. The grace of God You must surrender and receive and allow the grace to flow in your life. In Galatians 2 and 21, I remember Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Paul was free. Nothing bound him. Change, circumstances, opposition, nothing. He was free at the center. Luke 7:30, the Pharisees and the jurists frustrated God's purpose for themselves. When we frustrate the grace of God, we frustrate ourselves. Are you hearing it? But on the other hand, if you fulfill God's grace, you are fulfilled. Therein lies the difference. Hallelujah. Isn't that a good message? This is a beautiful grace of God message. Don't frustrate the grace of God. Simply receive it. Here's God trying to love you, and you won't receive the love. You ever try to love your kid and he won't receive your love? Isn't that frustrating? Huh? You try to hug him and he pokes you in the eye. Slaps you in your face, but mommy loves you. And he throws some oatmeal and a spoon at your face. But I love you, honey. You try to get him in their snowsuit and they're yelling and screaming. Don't that frustrate you? But I don't want to put my boots on. I don't care if it's freezing outside. It's your love trying to take care of them. Doesn't that frustrate you when you're trying to love them by doing things for them and they won't receive it? You try to put their hats on, they're tired. Yeah! I hate you. Huh? That's what they're saying. Isn't that frustrating? You try to change their diaper and you just take a cold, the rag is just not quite warm enough and you're trying to wipe their bottom. Ah! Huh? Isn't that frustrating? God's trying to do that, trying to clean up our mess all the time. But it just, it's frustrating, isn't it? You frustrate the grace of God. He wants to help you, wants to love you, wants to take care of you, wants to cover you with the blood, forgive all your sins, and you're frustrated. I don't want to receive! I hate myself. I hate the way I look. I hate my hair. Why'd you make me this way? I'm ugly! Huh? Isn't that what you're saying? Don't you try to legalize it all the time? Why did you make me that way? Huh? Isn't it the same way with your own kids? Well, honey, I want you to get A's in school. Mommy knows you can do it. Why don't you go ahead and do it? Now, last year you were getting A's and B's. What's wrong? But I want to smoke dope! Isn't that frustrating to a mother or to a father? Isn't that frustrating to God when he tries to love you and you want to do everything wrong? But you throw the kid out? No, you just keep right on loving him. The bums, huh? Right? Do you? You just throw, all right, you were never born. And you just take and orbit him up into the moon. Whoop! Or you take him by the leg and you do one of these athletic shots going, free at last, huh? Are you getting the picture? God doesn't do that to you either. He doesn't grab a hold of your nasty foot and throw you out into outer orbit. God's grace is sufficient to put up with all your crying and all your sinning and everything. Oh, now you're telling people to go out and openly sin. You're giving them license. No, I'm just telling you. There's a consequences for your choices, just like your kid's going to get a spanking when he runs out there next to the curb. Oh, I told you next time you did that, you're going to get a spanking. What does that mean? I don't know. Well, you know now. Spank, 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 spank. Huh? You do it out of what? Love. And it's the same way with God. Right? Aren't you glad that God doesn't grab you by the foot and, you know, give you the discus throw way out there? And aren't you? If he did that for your thoughts, why, there'd be more people orbiting around the earth. The Russians would never get one up there. Sinner vessels that fill the sky, huh? You hear this, man? And don't take yourself too serious. Nobody else does. They don't. You ever take yourself so serious? You preachers, listening on the radio now. You ever take yourself so serious, you're so serious, and you got your Bible, and you got your pinstripe suit on, and your tie, and you got your hair, you know, it's just, you know, just brittle. You bump into your hair and crack. I mean, you know, you just take yourself so seriously. Nobody else is taking you seriously. Huh? Or you do take your pain and your woes so serious. Nobody else takes them real serious. They'll listen to you and they'll try to act like they're sympathetic. Really? Oh, poor BB. Poor BB. Poor BB. And they're thinking, oh, God, deliver me from this person. Was that right or is that wrong? Is it right or is it wrong? See, it's right, isn't it? We take ourselves so seriously, though. It's kind of cute, though, to God sometimes. You ever see your kid when they're trying to be real serious, when they're little kids? They're trying to do something real serious, and they're just making a mess out of everything. What do? You go around, you don't laugh. You go around the corner and laugh. Huh? That's the way we should be with each other. Don't laugh in the person's face. Go around the corner and laugh.